You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Okay.
Really made life easier. And then we'll start the clock.
This is 90-something podcast.
I know it sounds mental, but sometimes I have more fun vegging out than when I go partying. Maybe because my party clothes are so binding.
You're an idiot.
I'll show you. Starting tomorrow, you'll see I'm just as sane as anybody.
But I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you. I make you laugh. I'm here to fucking amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
Smelly cat, what are they feeding you?
Mentos, the fresh maker.
Hey, this is Banzai Retro Club, and I am Dave. Online, I got Suzanne.
Hi.
So, listener, you are in for a treat because what Suzanne and I have decided to do is that we are going to talk TV shows, specifically what we've kind of challenged ourselves and brought to the table. It's much like we just did with the movies. We were given the choice of any TV show that we wanted to talk about that had started in the 70s, 80s, or 90s, and we would basically give you just a... I want to say a brief overview, but just a 20-minute discussion on that particular TV show. So we're starting off with me, and I get to start us off all the way at the very end of our three decades. I'm going almost straight right to the edge, almost over. Well, actually is if you looked at when the show ended. But it started in 1998. And it went to the year 2000. So in Scott's logic, 2000 still incorporates the 1990s. I don't know if I agree with that, but as far as for, you know, this being still retro, I'm accounting it because it started in 98. Is that fair?
I would think if it starts in 98, that, I mean, even if it went over a little bit, you know, if the majority of the series is in the 90s, I think, or in that, you know, square in that decade, I think it counts.
Yeah, and, you know, for me, I like to look at it when the show started, or in this case, the movie or whatever it is we're talking about. So as long as it started within that time frame, I think we're good. Okay. So based on what I said, it was in 1998 to 2000, so it didn't really last that long. And it's actually a half-hour primetime comedy drama, and it was written and produced by Aaron Sorkin, who is the same guy that would eventually do West Wing. And he had done this show called Sports Night. Have you ever heard of it?
I have heard of it. I don't think I've seen it.
Okay.
You can catch all that action on CSC on campus with Stan Myers coming up at the top of the hour. And you won't want to miss Championship Billiards at 1 a.m. Yoshira Yatsumura takes on Greta Lipsick for the nine-ball crown, and when those two get together, it's a barn burner.
That's all for us. I'm Casey McCall alongside Dan Rydell.
If you've had half as much fun watching the show as we've had doing it, well, then we've had twice as much fun doing the show as you've had watching it. That's Sports Night. See you tomorrow.
Good night.
Music, go.
Roll credits, go.
We're out.
Nice show, everybody.
What are you doing tonight?
No sleep.
Come out with me.
Where?
El Perro Fumando.
A smoking dog.
Yes.
Why?
If you wear something blue, you get $2 off a giant blue margarita.
You know, I make a pretty good living. I can actually afford to wear what I want and pay full price.
I'm not promoting the economic upside as much as I am the opportunity to drink something giant and blue.
I'm going to bed.
Dana's coming.
Dana's coming?
You know what that can lead to. Oh.
Boogie shoes.
My boogie shoes.
I'm in. Hey, Jeremy, we're going to this place called El Perro Fumando, where if, what, you wear a thing, then something else happens for $2 less than it would have before.
Come with us.
But here's the thing. If Dana gets like half a margarita in her, there's a better than even chance she'll get up on a table and start dancing on my boogie shoes.
I did it one time.
El Perro Fumando?
The flaming dog.
Smoking dog.
Not the flaming dog?
Dog's not gay.
I wasn't suggesting the dog was gay. I was suggesting the dog was on fire.
He's not smoking on fire. He's smoking a cigarette.
He's smoking a pipe.
He's smoking a cigar.
I say he's gay.
Come on out with us.
I'll catch up later.
Work's over, Jeremy. It's time for big, giant blue things at $2 off.
I just want to write a quick letter to my sister Louise. She's a sophomore at Amherst.
You write letters?
I write to Louise.
It's nice. I haven't written a letter in years. I do everything by phone now.
My sister can't hear.
Ah. Well, catch up with us when you're done.
And wear something blue.
You want me to stick around for company?
Me?
Yeah, I can stick around.
No, I've got everything. Word processor, envelope.
Okay. Stamps?
Oh, I actually don't have a stamp to speak of, but that's okay. I found that when I need a stamp, one materializes. I never know where one's going to come from, but they always do. Stamps.
I haven't found that. I found that when I need a stamp, there's never one around. This is back when I used to write letters. When I used to write letters, I could never find a stamp.
Hey, can you guess what I'm thinking now?
That no one gives a damn about me and my history of stamps.
Bullseye. Mm.
You'll come by later, though, right?
Sure.
How do we know the dog is a he?
El Perro is masculine.
Sounds like Dana's translation isn't leaning another way.
Dear Louise.
It's brilliantly done. It's so well written. Aaron Sorkin is good at that. But it has Robert Guillaume as like the managing editor, Felicity Huffman as like an executive producer. And what they're doing is they're putting together they have a TV show called Sports mm-hmm. Night that's on a sports network. And I guess the network or their show is like always like continually the number third show in their time slot. So it's kind of their, you know, they're not the best one out of the gate, but you know, they're doing their best to try to make themselves better. And then all the different struggles that go along with putting together a show. And unlike, you know, shows that we've seen like Newsroom and things like that, this one is a little more tongue in cheek because it's just dealing with sports. Now, anybody that's listened to me on the podcast knows that I am not a sports fan. I mean, obviously, right now, majority of my family is downstairs are watching the Packers game, and I don't give a, a hill of beans.
I'm not a big sports person either.
Yeah. So you know where I'm coming from. So, you know, it's like the only way I'm going to know if that, like, the Packers did something well is because my wife yells. And once I know that happens, then I'm like, okay, then obviously they scored. But right now, I think they're getting beaten, but whatever. That doesn't matter. The show, like I said, it's just so well written and done. And I think Aaron Sorkin was really kind of getting his mastering his craft before he would go into the West Wing. Mm-hmm. A lot of the same elements, the same kind of, you know, smart dialogue, quick dialogue. You know, this show had that. And I really enjoyed the West Wing. So this was the precursor to that. Once I discovered this show, it's the show that I have on DVD and I don't mind watching over and over again, much like you guys were talking about with Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah. That's what I finally just finished.
Yeah. So, you know, to me, this is, you know, that show for me, where I'm very familiar with a lot of the episodes and, you know, how fun the show is. Just to go on a little bit further, the main anchors who are really kind of the showcase of the show around each episode is Peter Cross, who plays Casey, and then Josh Charles, who plays Dan. And they just have a great working relationship. and there's a lot of inner dialogue and not inner dialogue, but a lot of dialogue that they have between them that's just so well done because of the chemistry that they have. If I wanted to pick like a favorite like story arc, there was one of the senior associate producer who played by Sabrina Lloyd. She actually had gone into a locker room and she had getting an interview, like a pre-interview to this football star that they're going to have on their show, and he ended up exposing herself to him to her, and so the drama part comes in because they were trying to get him on the record because he had some sort of felony case against him or some sort of case that was thrown out of court or whatever, and he wouldn't talk about it, and he had gotten a deal not to talk about it, but because they now had this leverage against him, they were going to use that in order to get him to talk about this other well-known lawsuit against him. You know, the drama ensued around trying to figure out whether they should use the information that they had about her being exposed to get him to, you know, to talk about a little bit more during the interview, or, you know, just because, you know, he's a jerk, they're not going to do anything with him. So it was really an interesting storyline that really developed. And they, you know, like I said, the writing, the dialogue, and all through it, they were just really kind of really making fun of things as they went along, as they do with the relationship they have on the show. Like the one thing that Josh Charles, his character, says that he had told the producers and he had told like all the lighting people that he was thinking about growing a goatee. And so the big debate was, you know, well, you shouldn't grow a goatee because it's bad for the lighting. And
okay.
And then when you finally get to the end of this story arc and they're telling the people to leave the studio, he's like, well, and I just might grow a goatee. He just throws it out there randomly. You know, just as kind of like a final, you know, take that. Even though they would have no idea what he's talking about, but it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just love the show.
Okay, well, it sounds kind of interesting. You know, I have in the past liked those, you know, inside the network type of shows. Or I used to watch News Radio.
Yeah, I love that one.
Which was kind of fun.
Yeah,
and
Phil Hartman.
Yeah, that was a good show. And let's see, I just started streaming 30 Rock again, which is freaking brilliant.
Shoot, what's his name?
Alec
Shorty
Baldwin.
Balls. Yeah, there you go. Alec Baldwin. Yeah.
Alec Baldwin.
The Shorty Ball guy.
Yeah, that's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of Alec Baldwin.
Well, that is sad. A whole lifetime of career, that's the thing I'm going to always relate to him first as.
But yeah, Tina Fey and Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, Tina Fey, she's amazing.
Hysterical. And going back to like WKRP in Cincinnati, I like that show too. So.
Yeah, actually you're right. There has been a lot of these kind of shows. Yeah, that had, you know, the behind the scenes look at, you know, stuff. And, you know, the ones that I've always enjoyed are the ones that have like a comedic element. And what you said, WKRP, you said, yeah, all of them do. News Radio.
Yeah. They're all comedies, yeah.
And then they always throw in something that it feels like some like current event that kind of makes it a little more real. Mm-hmm. And that I've always enjoyed.
Yeah. And I think, let's see, I know I've been watching Peter Krause on 6 Feet Under recently. I watched a few episodes of that.
I never watched that.
Which is a little weird. I wouldn't call it a comedy. It has some strange situations in it, but it's a little bit more drama oriented. But yeah, he's very good in that, and I hadn't really seen him, hadn't really followed him in any of these other shows that he's done.
Yeah, he's really in this TV show Sports Night. He's basically a guy that's been separated from his wife. He's got the son that they. Have joint custody of, and it's him trying to come to copes with having a thing for their executive producer, who's Dana, played by Felicity Huffman. So he's always, there's always the Sam and Diane kind of Cheers drama going on where you're like, okay, are they going to get together this week? Oh, they're not. Okay. And so there's the sexual tension that's there between them. But then at the same time, you know, he's trying to cope with, you know, like figuring out how to start dating again because he'd been with his wife for a while. And, you know, there's everyone always seems to be, you know, give him advice as to what he should do next. Oh, you should go play the field. No, no, you should pledge your love to Dana, that kind of thing. So, you know, he's getting a weird range of advice. Everybody knows that they have feelings for each other because they had been, I guess, working together for a while. So it makes for an interesting dynamic. Felicity Huffman, if you know, for those that know, she's been in the news because she was part of the whole college.
Yeah, jeez.
Yeah.
What a mess.
Yeah, exactly. So it's once again, it's one of those things where I find it tough because of, and I think she pled guilty, I think, didn't she?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
I think Lori Loughlin's the one that's having trouble because she's trying to fight it, I think.
Right, yeah, and I think she's still in court over that, isn't she?
I think so.
Yeah, what a mess. Jeez.
Yeah, but, yeah, for those that aren't following the news, I think basically they had paid for their kids' way into college, if I remember right.
Basically, yeah, they like fake dossiers and stuff and had people like take their tests and that kind of thing.
Right, which is, right.
Jeez, like, I mean, how bad does your kid have to be there to have to get somebody to take his SATs for him or her, whichever it was? I think his old daughter's involved in this, but I mean, come on.
Yeah, yeah, that's.
It's sad.
That's very sad. It is
I don't
very
know.
Sad.
At least she owned up to it and, you know, just moved forward.
Right, right, and that's the tough part is that there's a lot of these actors, actresses that are doing this kind of stuff nowadays, and it's tough to continue to enjoy their original work knowing what you know what you learn about them now. And you know, there's things like I've mentioned before where like Hulk Hogan, there was like this audio that was captured of him on a phone call that was basically berating his daughter's boyfriend because he was African-American. And it was just like, oh, Hulk Hogan, why'd you have to do that? Why do you have to be that guy? And, you know, because he used to be, you know, the Hulkster, and he was, you know, so overpowering and presence, and now you're like, oh, I don't like this guy now. Bill Cosby, don't even get me started.
Yeah, geez, boy, did he fall. He fell pretty far, that one.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So it's like I can't even think about watching The Cosby Show now. And I'm not saying the same thing is happening here because I still enjoy watching Sports Night. But when there's a Felicity Huffman, like, centered episode, sometimes it pops in there in my brain as to like, oh, yeah, I know what you're going to be doing later.
Yeah, it's a little hard to ignore because, you know, a lot of these Hollywood people are really judgy, you know, like they're very, we're so above everyone and we're all, you know, so humanitarian and blah, 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 blah. And then like you hear what they're really doing behind the scenes. And it's hard to get away from that because it can be very hypocritical, you know?
Yeah.
So
some other good characters that are in the show, Joshua Molina, who actually did cross over to the West Wing. He was associate producer Jeremy in Sports Night. Very, very, very good actor. In fact, if you love The West Wing, I know that he had started doing a podcast where he started breaking down each of the episodes. So you can actually hear Joshua Molina talk about his time on The West Wing and the different episodes. So if they ever did that with Sports Night, I would be all over it. And then another great character that came in later in the season that I really didn't like initially, but I rewatched it maybe about half a year ago, William H. Macy. They brought him in as a rating expert. And William H. Macy, I love, and I love to watch him in Shameless. So it's very no, fun.
So you but see him, but he's this been a is lot so movies. He's been all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is the anti Shameless role for him. He's he's very professional.
Okay.
But I don't know, it's Shameless. Yeah, it's a fun show.
Well, cool. Oh, fun pick then.
Yeah.
And I guess out of the ordinary, it's nice that even if you're not a sports enthusiast, you can still get into the whole dynamics of the sports show.
Yeah, you know, and you know, there's a lot of because there's a lot of events that they're focusing on. Even the pilot episode is actually kind of fun because they're talking about, and I forgot the guy's name, but they're talking about some sort of the place kicker for the Cincinnati Bengals. And they're going back and forth in one of their prep meetings, and they have these prep meetings before they have the actual show, you know, getting ready, making sure they know like which of the sequences are going when, make sure they have graphics ready and all that kind of good stuff. And they have this conversation about the Bengals, and there's this one part where they're going back and forth, and this one guy is talking to Peter Cross, who's Casey. And he's like, well, you know, he's a pretty good kicker. I've seen him kick really well at practice. He goes, well, this, you know, this is a professional sports game. They really need him to do it in an actual game. And it was just really kind of, you know, the dialogue and the back and forth, you know, it was like, you know, if you're looking for a job, maybe you can be a place kicker for the Cincinnati Bengals. So it was like, I loved it.
Cool.
But yeah, you know, it's like one of those things that I normally wouldn't have gotten that kind of, you know, those kind of references, but because I'm not really into sports, but you know, I love the dialogue of it. There was even this one when they're looking to hire Jeremy, which is also on the pilot episode. I think it was a pilot episode. Yeah, it was. And Dana was giving him an interview, and she says, what's three things that the I forgot the name of the team. It's a baseball team.
Well, there are a lot of those.
Yeah.
And I'm not an expert either.
Yeah. God, no, I just blew it. But I guess there's one that, was it Spike Lee always goes to the games? I'm going to blow this. Yeah.
The New York team?
It's got to be.
The Yankees or the Mets? I know he's from New York.
No, I'm sorry, basketball. Crap.
Oh, basketball. Anyway.
Knicks?
The Knicks?
It's got to be the Knicks, right? Shit, I might have to Google
it's
this.
It's sad if I'm answering the sports questions here.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
let's see, Spike Lee, basketball. Let's see if something easy comes up here. New York Knicks.
Hey, so, I only knew that because I'm from New York.
I'm very proud of you. It showcases how much sports I don't know. But it was like something where she says, name three things that the Knicks have to do in order to be a contender, you know, or, you know, be the best or whatever she says. And so he's like, is there any other question I can get? Because I'm better at football or I'm better at baseball. And she goes, not until you answer this question. So it was really kind of, it was funny that he finally just, you know, he's like, you know, they've got to move the ball. They've got to do this. And then she goes, okay, just one more thing. And he goes, tell Spike Lee to sit down and shut up. And she's like, welcome to sports night. So it was funny.
Okay. That's
all right.
Cute.
Jeremy, this is Dana Whitaker.
We've met.
Yes.
You have an impressive resume. Let me ask you some questions.
You look nervous.
I'm okay.
Would you like a glass of water?
No, thank you.
A soft drink? We have Fresca.
If you're taking orders, I'll have the angel hair pasta and a nice Merlot.
I'm just trying to become professionalism is all.
I can come back later.
What are your favorite sports?
Beg your pardon?
Where are you strongest?
Oh, football.
Great. Let's talk about basketball.
I said football.
I heard you. Let's talk about basketball.
We can talk about baseball or hockey.
Oh, you're pretty strong at baseball and hockey, are you?
Not as strong as football, but...
Let's talk about the Knicks.
I walked right into that one, didn't I?
Well, I left the door wide open for you.
Shot of bourbon?
Please.
Sit. I'm sorry, that was harsh. I hurt your feelings. Name three things the Knicks need to do this season to make it to the finals.
I couldn't get another question.
You will, but not till I hear an answer to the first one.
What do the Knicks...
Three things the Knicks need to do to contend.
Ms. Whitaker, I would be great at this job. You gotta believe me when I tell you I've been training my whole life for it. I've crunched stats, I've broken down film, and there wasn't a team at my high school that didn't have me for an equipment manager. I have read every box score in every newspaper that's printed in English and has a sports section, and I have seen Sports Night every night since your first broadcast, 2 years, 2 months, and a week ago today. Now, yes, sure, indeed. I can tell you what Ewing and Oakley are shooting from the field, and that you're not going to stop John Starks if he squares up to the basket and put any defensive pressure on Charlie Ward, he's going to fold like a cheap card table. But if you're asking me for genuinely sophisticated analyses, and I sense that you are, you got to give me some time, at least 20 minutes. Did that make any sense?
I wasn't really listening.
Oh, God!
Jeremy, this is television. Things happen. If you want to work here, you gotta not spontaneously wig out.
Not till an hour before airtime.
Right. The Knicks.
Name three things.
Improve their free throw percentage.
Yes.
Run the floor.
Okay, one more.
Tell Spike Lee to sit down and shut up.
Excellent!
Yeah, welcome to Sports Night.
Yeah, like I said, and I probably got the team wrong and the wrong person, but whatever.
It was kind of a long way to go for the joke, but, you know, yeah. We got it.
Oh, and look at that. And
time.
We're at 20.
Yeah.
Look at that. We'll end on a high note of almost knowing the sports teams.
Faking our way through a Knicks joke.
This part where our listeners are going, all right, you guys don't know what the hell you're talking about. Shut up.
That's okay. It's not a sports show.
It is not. We do not claim to. Scott would be our closest to our sports expert.
And, yeah, which is why he's not on the phone, because he's watching football.
Well, he said something. He was recovering from the game, I guess, that the Chiefs just won.
Oh, well, good for them.
Yeah. I guess that means they're going to the Super Bowl, I guess. I don't know. That is something I should know, but I don't.
I don't know. The game was on here. It's people cheering.
All right.
So, like, my husband watches and yells at the screen.
Yep. All right. Well, that's my wife's job here. And she watches with my son, and he spends... And he's really into sports. I mean, he's, like, way into sports. He knows stuff, like, you know, that amazes me. Like, all the statistics and the past history of stuff.
Okay.
And so he knows all this stuff. And, you know, he sit there and he'll watch a game with my wife, and he's just mainly on his phone. So I'm kind of like, you know, that to me doesn't seem like you're watching, but, you know, I guess that's just, you know, his age now. Where you can't sit there and concentrate on, you know, just watching TV, I guess.
Yeah, you have to multitask. Your brain has to be doing with four different things or it's not engaged. I almost feel that urge now and then. Like, you can't, like, just, like, sit and have breakfast. You have to read your email at the same time and then, like, have something else happening. You know, it's just a lot of gears have to be turning these days or else you feel like you're not actually doing something.
You know, I find it so weird that you mentioned that, but it's almost like I can't get out of bed unless I've looked onto Twitter to see what's going on. I'm like, when did that happen? When did I become
isn't it weird?
When did I become that guy? That's my go-to. Let me check that before I get out of bed. And not every morning. I'm just talking like on weekends. So.
Well, that's not bad. That's not bad.
Yep. All right. So this is part where I'm going to remind everybody we have a website out there. That's BonsaiRetroClub.com. Please go on there and you can get to our links for social media. I would recommend Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Those are the ones that we do a lot with. The other stuff is basically being auto-fed from Podbean. So if you want to go on to the other ones, by all means, go for it. But we're not really spending a lot of time on that, so I don't recommend. As far as something that really is worth checking out, I would recommend checking out Suzanne's blog. So Suzanne has a kick-ass blog. If you want to go to that, that's suzannematabone.com. That's SUZANNEMATTABONI.com.
Yeah, you got it.
Bam! Bam! Let's hear that. Let's all of a sudden there's I tell you, there's applause. There's people here in the studio that are sitting there, thumbs up, and okay, nobody's here.
nobody would know the difference though.
I have an audience here.
It's the studio audience.
And then you've got a Twitter account. That's Suze Mattaboni. With the at sign in front of it. And I take care of the at sign Bonsai Retro Club. Rose does at 80s girl, 80s music girl, sorry. And then Scott takes care of at 80s Autoverse. So that takes care of all of us. So we do appreciate that you continue to listen, and we want to remind you to have a good whatever, and please be excellent to each other. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Danielson!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Bonsai!